Hi, everyone, and welcome to First State Insights, a podcast presented by the University of Delaware's Institute for Public Administration. That's IPA for short. My name is Troy Mix. I'm Associate Director at IPA and your host for this episode. I'm joined today by Allison Taylor Levine. She's the president and founder of the Local Journalism Initiative of Delaware, as well as vice president for marketing and communications at the Delaware Community Foundation. During our conversation on March 20th, 2023, Allison and I discussed the importance of local news and information for our communities and the efforts she's leading to reinvigorate local journalism in Delaware. Let's get to the conversation. Allison, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. Good to see you.
I wanted to talk about local journalism and your initiatives to kind of do things to support it, do things to further the mission. And I guess as we get started here, I think about local journalism in my own life. And I really feel like I had a great experience with local journalism growing up. I had a great local newspaper, and it was part of our life to read it. You could see yourself in the sports page, maybe, if you were lucky as you were growing up. And there's just loads of local information, controversy sometimes around how issues were covered. But it was a great source of warm feelings growing up. And I guess for me, I don't have that in my life as much anymore. Like, I don't get a daily newspaper delivered. And I think that's like a lot of people around the U.S. But I also am not engaged in this space fully. And I don't really maybe know what I'm missing. I'm missing those warm feelings and missing the nostalgia. But I guess for you, what would you put a point on that in terms of what's missing and what impact that makes on our communities?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot that we may not be thinking about, because you're right. A lot of us do think about those warm feelings and that sense of connection to our community that is really important and something that we have experienced some loss. We've lost some of that through the loss of the local newspaper specifically. I believe we still have a lot of opportunities for that type of local connection through other media, through social media. You know, in some ways, social media gives us that in a different way. And in some ways, it maybe is even a little better. It's a lovely thing for me to see people on social media from high school, people I haven't seen for, you know, 25 years, and get to find joy in seeing pictures of their kids playing Little League, you know, back in Lake City, Florida. And I wouldn't see that if it was in the local newspaper. So this is an evolution, right? When people talk about local news, many people talk about local news in a really doomsday way, about the death of local news. I don't see it as a death. I think of it more as an evolution. And we are, however, in this moment, losing some things because of what is happening with local news and the industry. You know, while we can still get some of those warm fuzzies of, you know, seeing kids at Little League and, you know, children getting married or, you know, find obits and hear about loved ones on social media, there are things that we are missing from the more formal local news and information as the industry has changed with the rise of the internet and other changes in how we consume information. There's a lot of research around the country that shows that when local news and information diminishes, we have actually less effective government and less efficient government. You know, our taxes go up, more violent crimes go unsolved, government bond ratings go up, the rate at which governments are able to borrow money. It gets more expensive for government to borrow money. You know, that's because there's no government, there's no oversight of our government anymore. When we lose local news sources, we're losing that fourth estate at the local level. So less effective government is one big loss that we have in local, with the loss of local news. We also see a real reduction in civic engagement. And again, this is, you know, we can look around and see this. There, you know, the Rotary clubs get smaller. There's less participation in the bowling league. But you can actually look at research and see that in communities where there's less local news and information, where the newspaper leaves town or the radio station shuts down or whatever it is, voter turnout drops. Fewer people run for office. Legislators, elected officials actually return phone calls at lower rates, and they receive phone calls at lower rates from their constituents. So we see a lot less civic engagement. We also see a lot more misinformation and polarization when we don't have local news and information sources. And again, it's based in research. You know, when we talk about polarization, we can look around the community and see that happening, but you can also see a statistically significant drop in split ticket voting. Because what we do is we don't have local information to get those nuanced analyses anymore of our local candidates. So we take those big national labels. We take that red and that blue. We take that Republican and that Democrat label, and we apply them right here. And we say, oh, well, you know, if Sarah McBride is a Democrat, she must believe this. And if Brian Shoup is a Republican, he must believe that. And we don't look at what those folks actually believe and what they're actually proposing for our local public policies. And we also see an exacerbation of inequities. You know, Black and Brown communities, low-income communities, communities that have English as a second language or non-English speaking communities are the hardest hit, like with everything else, right? Are the hardest hit by the loss of local news and information. And that's happening largely because many of those communities, for historical reasons, and sometimes just in perception, have less disposable income. So when news organizations perceive that those communities are likely to inspire less advertising dollars, they tend to pull out of those communities first and faster.
And when we look at those outcomes, so things like exacerbation of inequities, reduction in civic engagement that you mentioned, that more local news has a positive impact on those negative outcomes. What do those outcomes look like in Delaware?
Yeah, I can't point exactly, I don't have the statistical data to point to for Delaware specifically, unfortunately, but I can share with you that what's happening with our local media ecosystem is that we are seeing a significant decline in local coverage and in our local news and information ecosystem. And again, that's not going to be a surprise, I know, to you, Troy, or to folks who are listening, that the news journal is a whole heck of a lot thinner than it used to be. We no longer have as much talk and news radio as we used to. You know, we used to be able to turn to WILM and WDEL upstate for regular news. We used to have a lot more downstate talk radio, a lot more downstate actual news on the radio, where now a lot more of that is more opinion and commentary, particularly downstate. So throughout the state, we're seeing a real decline in the quantity of people, of local news reporters and editors. One example, you know, I was a reporter at the News Journal about 25 years ago. And when I was there, we had about 110 local news editors and reporters. Today, the News Journal has fewer than 30 local news editors and reporters. So it is down to almost a quarter of what we had just 20 or 25 years ago. That's a tough thing. I mean, because even when we had 110 people covering the state, we didn't all have all the news and information that we needed at the local level. And now we have that much less. And I'm not intending to pick on the News Journal, because almost every single newsroom in the state has cut its staff with that level of ferocity. And it's not malicious. You know, these are not folks who are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. They work terrible hours. They generally have relatively low salaries. This is an industry problem. And folks who remain, our current local news editors and reporters in Delaware, are really working very hard and doing a great job with the limited resources they have. But the fact is They have limited resources, more limited than ever before, and it's getting worse.
And you mentioned before, like there's an evolution of local news and information. And you said, you know, there's a lot of value to social media, for example. There can be great engagement there, but this is a basic question, but I think one we don't think about very often maybe is, what's the difference between tens of thousands of Delawareans engaged on social media and 100 local news reporters and editors? I mean, what do you get from both crowds? What's the value you're missing if you don't have more of the reporters and editors?
A couple of things. I love social media for the most part. I mean, everybody loves it and hates it, right? We have a kind of love-hate relationship. I think you can get a lot from social media. It is a great source for information. Ideally, we would have local media that is not necessarily agenda-driven. Objectivity is a big ask. We all have histories. We're all human beings. We all have baggage, opinions, life experience that we bring to the table. But professional journalism should be done in an agenda-free way. And that's one of the things that is diminished when we see our local news environment diminish. There's also a level of expertise that goes along with it. And focus capacity. A lot of folks who are trying, a lot of lay people, not non-journalists, are still trying to get access to the local news and information that they need by going directly to government websites, by going straight to government agencies and resources. I heard a story about some family members during the pandemic who a loved one was in a veterans home, and they were really trying to get information about what was going on with their loved one. And it takes hours and hours and hours to do this kind of research. And it takes a lot of expertise to do this kind of research. And when someone doesn't have the professional training to do it, that's not to say they can't be successful, but it's probably going to take them a whole heck of a lot longer to do it. And they may not be as successful as somebody who has been trained in reporting, because journalists are trained to do that kind of work, to understand what the rights are of the public, to serve as that gatekeeper for the public. And we also we're dedicated in capacity, right? That's the job. But right now we have a lot of Delawareans who are trying to get their own information at the local level. And it's not something they should have to be spending their time and energy doing if we could have a local news and information ecosystem that would help support that. And we also have a level of objectivity and professionalism that is important. You know, when we are looking for our own information or when we get information on social media, I think by this point, most of us have heard conversations about the echo chamber that we all tend to get into. You know, our social media feeds are designed to reinforce the things we already believe and the things that we want to know and the things that we are really interested in, which means that we don't always get exposed to different ideas and perspectives. And that's what's also contributing to the polarization. If we never hear about other ideas or never weigh the pros and cons of an opposing opinion, how are we going to have a successful democracy? How are we going to improve our ideas and our communities if we're not thinking about what might be better than what we already have in our heads? So I think that is something that agenda-free, independent local news and information can really help us with.
And you saw the need here in Delaware and really an opportunity to make improvement on this topic. And you know, that's, I think, where the Local Journalism Initiative comes in and, you know, came to be. Can you talk a little bit about where the germ of the idea came from and how it went from that idea to some projects and an overall program?
Yeah, sure. I've been passionate about the intersection of journalism and democracy and community for my whole life. I can remember being 10 years old and working at the Summers Scoop at Summers Elementary back in Florida, where I grew up, and just being really enamored with this idea of helping to tell the stories of our community and to also play that oversight role, to provide that objective oversight and that extra set of eyes that we need over our government. So I've always been really enthusiastic about this. You know, I was a journalist for a little while. I went to school at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, to journalism school there, and worked as a reporter, including a stint at the News Journal. My late husband was the editorial page editor there, was Jason Levine. He spent his whole career, most of his career there. And, you know, it was just, it's always been a really important part of my life and my family's life. This view of journalism as playing a critical role in our democracy and in our community. And I take it very seriously. I think of local news and information as a public service and a public good. And I'd like more of us to start thinking about local news and information as a public good. It's something that we need to have access to in the same way that we need access to broadband or electricity or public roads, public education. If we want to have a functioning and thriving civil society and a democracy, we have to have access to local news and information. And we need that to be accessible to all people in all communities. Right now, access to local news and information, particularly from multiple sources and independent sources, is quite a privilege. Most of us have access to social media to get information. Not all of us have access to the information behind the paywall on the local news outlets that are providing this professional level of reporting and information. And then to have the opportunity and the privilege to be able to go to multiple local news sources that might be behind multiple subscription paywalls is an even greater privilege. You have to have a certain amount of money to be able to afford to subscribe to different sources to go check it out yourself. So we want to have this information available to all communities so that all voices can participate and become informed and engage in our civil society. You know, I've always been really excited about this work, and I've been working with the Delaware Community Foundation also for about 11 years, and grew my passion for local news and information and democracy and community has really grown during my work at the Community Foundation. As part of my work with the foundation, I've been able to learn about different things happening with local journalism around the country, got the opportunity to study a lot of different models and see some really cutting edge things happening. You know, there's the VT Digger up in Vermont. There's Spotlight PA right over the border in Pennsylvania. There is the Texas Tribune, just some wonderful different models, nonprofit models of journalism, collaborative models for local journalism. And I was looking around and, you know, seeing the decline in staff in Delaware newsrooms and the decline in coverage. And I thought, gosh, I want to bring some of that to Delaware. I want to see some new models happening in Delaware. So I started a few years ago just having some conversations with folks and saying, hey, this is really interesting. Do you think there's a role for it in Delaware? Is there a place in Delaware for a different approach? And there was a lot of enthusiasm. I was ultimately able to pull together a group of local funders who had some interest in learning more about local news and information, and really talked with them about what I talked about at the beginning of this conversation, Troy, and said, you know, this is what's happening to our community. This is what happens to a community when local news diminishes. This is what happens in terms of a loss of effective government, less civic engagement, greater polarization, and greater inequities. And it's happening here in Delaware. You know, let's look at what's happening in our local media market. We are losing our local news and information ecosystem, and this is what's going to happen in Delaware too. What can we do about it? And the funders and I talked about this quite a lot and determined our first step should be to really get our arms around what Delawareans want and need in terms of local news and information. We pulled some money together and we started the Local Journalism Initiative actually as a project. It wasn't a nonprofit to start. We just started it as a kind of a project out of my back pocket. And the Delaware Community Foundation, my employer, did help a little bit to get that off the ground. So we formed this group, the Local Journalism Initiative, and we conducted a statewide assessment of our local news and information ecosystem. And that sounds kind of fancy and academic, but what it really means is we went around the state and we talked to almost 300 people. We did in-depth interviews, we did focus groups, we also did a text message survey, and we just asked people, you know, where do you get information? Where do you get your local news and information? Where do you find out what's going on? You know, how do you find out, you know, what is that building that's opening up down the street? And are they going to be hiring? And hey, when is the school choice deadline? You know, and when is 95 going to be reopening, for goodness sake? How do you find out that stuff? And we listened to people talk about where they get their information, and we asked them what else they need and what else they want. And we learned a whole lot, and we were really inspired by the enthusiasm that people in Delaware had for wanting greater connection to their community. Ultimately, what they told us was that they want and need more local news and information in three key areas. One is they need more information just to function. Those things I just said, you know, when does 95 open? Where can I apply for a job? How do I register my kid for school? Just stuff to help them get along in their daily life. And secondly, they wanted information. They want more local news and information to help them engage in civil society. And of course, you know, that's another kind of fancy term. They didn't always use that word, but a lot of folks said to us, who's making all these decisions? And how can I tell them what I think before it's too late? And they're telling us they want to know who the policymakers are, who the decision makers are, and how do I call them and tell them, you know, I don't want that new development down the road, or, you know, we need another hospital in our community, or whatever it is. They want to be involved. The third area they told us they want more information about is they really want a greater sense of connection to place and to their community. Folks asked us about more information about volunteer opportunities, the Memorial Day parade, how to get involved with a new church. Folks were really, you know, Delaware is a very lucky state. We have a lot of resources in Delaware, but folks were looking for social connection. They want to feel like they belong. And those are the three things that they were really excited to talk about. So we did this study. We published it in June of 2022. We've been using the information from that study since then to come up with some new strategies for other things we can do to help address the needs and the gaps in local news and information.
You know, in a public administration setting, we're really focused on that who's making decisions piece, but we do it kind of day in and day out. So we'd like to think we have a pretty good idea. You know, the example you gave of who's approving that development down the street is a very real one for us. We work with a lot of towns on comprehensive plans. And from our perspective, doing it day in, day out, year in, year out, it keeps us motivated a little, but I imagine it can be a little dry to the general public. Once you ask the question, who actually makes the decisions, you don't want to hear the answer, because by the end, it's like, wow, this is a very complicated process. I just want to stay out of it. So how, I guess my question is, how do you make this stuff live?
Yeah, I think this is a really tough question. And I don't think that any of us will ever be able to make, you know, zoning and land use really scintillating to the masses. But I think that we can find ways to provide information across different platforms and in different ways. And that is one of the things that I think about a lot with the evolution of local news is in newspapers, we kind of went through this phase of writing these massive 3,000 word packages that nobody can read. So how do we take the information that our communities need and provide it to them where they are and in the formats that they are already consuming? So, you know, it's only halfway a joke, but I really don't care if people are getting their information off of TikTok. If that's where people are, then we need to be able to translate our information into a TikTok video and get it onto that platform and go to where folks are. I think this is a pretty standard tenet of communication, is that we need to speak to people in the languages that they speak, in the places that they speak, and allow them to engage with us and ask questions from where they already are. So I don't think that's a perfect answer, because I really don't know in this moment how we are going to translate land use inquiries into TikTok videos or into WhatsApp messages or put it on Discord. I don't know the answer to that, but that is what we're aiming to do, is go where people are. It's really hard to get people to change their media diet. You know, even as somebody who is as passionate and nerdy as I am about journalism, I don't sit down at my dining room table and read the news journal every day anymore. That's just not how we consume information in this day and age. So I think that we as journalists, as academics, as policymakers, as people who want to communicate information to larger audiences, it's on us to figure out how to translate that to people where they are.
And what progress do you feel you're making on kind of starting to tell the stories in more platforms using different voices? What steps are you taking through the initiative so far?
Well, and you just raised a good point in what you said about and in different voices. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's another important piece of this. We are trying to elevate voices of people who have not always been heard. And that's an important piece of the work of the Local Journalism Initiative, is we want to be serving historically underserved and underrepresented communities as part of the work that we're doing. That is really a critical part, I think, of our community building and our democracy building work. Democracy only thrives when we're hearing the voices of all people. And that includes people of color, people who speak different languages, and also people with different political ideologies. And in Delaware, that tends to mean more conservative political ideologies. You know, we need to make sure that we are hearing and representing all different kinds of people in Delaware so that we can have those important conversations. As far as progress, you know, we are, through the Local Journalism Initiative, we, in partnership with the Delaware Community Foundation, so far we've launched an internship program for college students who are aspiring journalists. And that is particularly focused on engaging interns from historically underserved and underrepresented communities. So we have that internship. This will be our third summer, this coming summer. As I mentioned, we did this assessment, and now we're starting to put the findings of that research to work. And we've developed a plan for a new initiative called Spotlight Delaware. Spotlight Delaware is going to be a new independent, collaborative, nonprofit news entity for Delaware. This is going to be a team of independent news reporters and editors for Delaware, who are going to be committed to really diving into the impact on our communities, the impact of public policy on communities. So when our General Assembly is considering things like changing the education funding formula, or policies around firearms, or tax changes, we want our team to be looking at, okay, what does that mean for people living in Ellesmere or Claymont or Del Mar or Seaford? And in some cases, when it's relevant, does that have unique implications for Black communities or Spanish-speaking communities or LGBTQ communities? So we want to be looking at really the impact of what's happening through public policy. That is going to be also, I use the word collaborative. The idea here is not just to start a new newsroom in Delaware. This news team is going to be charged with working with our existing local newsrooms. Everything that the Spotlight team produces will be shared for free with all of the existing newsrooms in the state so that they can get that information to more audiences through the platforms they already go to. And it won't just be our traditional newsrooms. You know, yes, we want Spotlight content to be available through the Cape Gazette and Delaware Public Media and WDEL. We want all of those folks to have access to this information. We also want it to go out in church newsletters. We want to see it on WhatsApp. We want to see it put out there by different community influencers. So we're going to be really working to get the information that folks need, that folks have told us they need through this research. We want to be working to get that to as many audiences as possible through as many platforms as possible. So instead of trying to build something new and getting people to come to us, we're going to try to get that information out to them where they already go. You know, this is something that we have been working on developing for quite a while now. And with the research that we did in 2022 and 2023, it really reaffirmed the need for this and helped us refine the direction. So now we're in the fundraising phase. The intent is that we will launch something in the summer. Most likely it'll be in a newsletter form to start with, and then starting something more robust in the fall to be ready ahead of the convening of the General Assembly in January.
And if you think about 5 years from now or 10 years from now, what do you hope to see on both kind of the warm and fuzzy side and the metric side in terms of the outcomes that will start to come from the Local Journalism Initiative?
The big focus right now, you know, we're continuing with the internship program and we're working on a few other projects that I really hope are going to come off the ground, including some things around media literacy and civic literacy for students, and particularly getting into high school students. I'm hoping we'll get something going with that. We also convened the Delaware Journalism Collaborative, which has about 15 Delaware newsrooms working together. The Delaware Journalism Collaborative is focused on the issue of polarization in our communities. So they are doing some real in-depth reporting and community engagement specifically around that subject. So I hope that we will see the collaborative continuing to thrive and do as well as it is. I also really have high hopes for Spotlight Delaware. My vision is that it will be more than just a newsroom, and I don't want us to be just producing information and providing it. Our goal is to kind of become a webmaster and to create kind of a web of information flow, both among the newsrooms in Delaware, the news sources, and the community. Part of our model is that we're going to be doing regular engagement with the other news leaders throughout the state to try to understand where are the gaps? You know, what are your audiences asking you for? What information do they need more of and want more of that you can't get to? You know, we know your newsrooms have small staffs. You can't cover everything. What are your folks asking for? And how can we help facilitate and get more of that coverage that your readers and your listeners want and need? And we also want to be doing that regular community engagement with the community. So in addition to listening to what the other journalists say they want and need to give their audiences, we want to hear it directly from the community. We're going to be holding regular events and conversations to listen to folks, to hear, you know, what are the challenges you're facing in your communities? And what are you excited about? You know, and what do you need more stories about? What are there people that you want to learn more about? Are there issues you want to learn more about? You know, in our research, we already heard from the community loud and clear that they need more information about government accountability, education, and land use, particularly, and all the fallout from different land use decisions around construction and environmental impacts. And, you know, if we build this new neighborhood, will the school system be able to sustain it? That kind of thing. So we've already been hearing a lot from Delawareans about what they want and need. And we want to keep that going because, of course, it's not a standstill, right? Everything, you can't just do it once and then stop listening because things are changing all the time. So that's really my vision for where we'll be 5 or 10 years from now, is that we'll have real engagement going on so that the local news and information ecosystem, so that Spotlight, the News Journal, the Cape, because all of us can be really effectively providing local news and information to our communities that they want and need, and that they'll be helping us to do that by sharing with us what they want and need. And it will become a real conversation.
And so with that idea of ongoing engagement in mind, how do community members now go about learning more about what the Journalism Initiative is doing? And then how over time do they kind of get engaged in that web of information flow, as you said?
Well, it's still coming together, so give me some grace while we're building. But our website is ljidelaware.org. That's Local Journalism Initiative, ljidelaware.org. And there is a sign-up sheet on there for a mailing list. And we would love to have you sign up. I don't send a whole lot yet. I don't have a formal newsletter yet. But if you'd like to join our mailing list, we'll keep you posted on what we're doing. We do have community conversations now and then. We have a series going on right now through the Delaware Journalism Collaborative about community polarization. And we are just excited to get more people to come to the table, because that's the point, right? We want to have more voices so we can have better conversations.
Well, Allison, it was a real pleasure to speak with you today. I thank you for taking some time, and I look forward to seeing how the conversation kind of takes shape in coming years. Thanks again for joining me today.
Thank you, Troy.
Thanks for listening today. To engage with Allison and the work of the Local Journalism Initiative, visit ljidelaware.org. For more information on the Institute for Public Administration, visit ipa.udel.edu. If you enjoyed this episode, look for past and future episodes of First State Insights wherever you get podcasts. I hope you'll tune in again soon. Take care.